All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're looking at a case that's, well, it's really important for anyone who wants to understand contract law,
Oh, absolutely.
especially how the UCC, you know, the Uniform Commercial Code, deals with damages
Right.
and something that's always crucial in contracts, good faith.
Yeah, good fake is huge.
We're diving deep into Ralston Purina Co. v. McNabb. Think of this as like your crash course on some really important stuff about commercial
I
agreements.
like that. A crash course. And this case is perfect for it, really. It all revolves around, well, two soybean contracts.
Oh, soybean
Yeah,
contracts.
from way back in 1972. It's a great example of what happens when things don't go as planned. And, maybe even more importantly, how the legal system steps in to make things right.
Interesting.
We've got all the pieces here. The initial contract, a weather event that nobody expected, and then bam, disagreement that ends up in federal court.
Wow, sounds like a wild ride.
It is.
So, paint me a picture. 1972, rural Tennessee.
All right, picture this.
What's going on?
We've got Ralston Purina, big buyer of agricultural products, right? They decide to make two separate contracts with a farmer, a guy named F.R. McNabb.
McNabb.
Yeah. The first one's for a lot of soybeans, 5,000 bushels.
5,000 bushels.
A lot of soybeans. And at $3.35 a bushel. Delivery was supposed to happen in October and November of that year.
Of 72.
Yep, 1972. Now, the second contract, that was for another 3,000 bushels.
Okay, so even more soybeans.
Exactly. Price was a bit higher, $3.37 a bushel.
Makes sense.
Delivery for that one was set for November and December. Seems pretty simple, right?
On the surface, yeah, it does.
But you know how it goes. There's always a twist.
Always.
Things happen that you just don't expect.
I've got a feeling I know where this is going.
Well, in the end, McNabb only delivered 4,229 bushels total.
Oh, so he came up short.
Oh, yeah. Pretty big shortage. 3,771 bushels to be exact. That's a lot of beans.
Wow, that's a lot of soybeans. So what happened? Why didn't he deliver everything?
Well, McNabb said it was the weather. Said some bad weather came through and really messed up his soybean crops.
Ah, so a force majeure kind of situation.
Yeah, you could say that. He claimed there was just no way he could meet the full amount in the contracts.
Okay, so what did Ralston Purina do?
Well, as the original deadlines were coming up, they tried to work things out with McNabb.
They tried to settle.
Exactly. Had some settlement talks in December of 72, but they couldn't agree on anything.
Couldn't reach a compromise.
Nope. So a few months later, in March 73, Ralston Purina still hadn't gotten the rest of their soybeans, and there was no settlement in sight. So they did what any company would do.
They went legal.
They went legal, demanded payment from McNabb to cover the losses from the missing soybeans.
I'm guessing McNabb wasn't too happy about that.
You guessed it. He refused to pay. So Ralston Purina filed a lawsuit against him for breach of contract.
And that landed them in federal court.
Right in the United States District Court for the Western District of Tennessee.
So the court had to look at everything and decide, who was in the wrong and what should be done about it. What were the big legal questions they had to figure out?
Well, the first one was pretty straightforward. Did McNabb breach the contract? And factually, the answer was yes. He didn't deliver all the soybeans he was supposed to.
Right. Seems pretty clear cut.
But the more complicated question was, how do you calculate the damages Ralston Purina should get?
Damages.
Yeah. Should they be based on the market price of soybeans at the original delivery deadline?
Which would be the end of November 72 for that first contract, right?
Exactly. Or should they be based on a later date because Ralston Purina, it seems, extended the deadlines?
So the timing of the breach really matters here.
Big time. It can make a big difference in how much money is involved.
Now, I know the UCC has rules for this kind of situation. Can you break those down for us?
Sure. So there's UCC Section 2713. This deals with what a buyer can do when the seller doesn't deliver or just completely backs out. The usual way to figure out damages is to take the market price at the time the buyer learned about the breach and subtract the contract price.
Okay, makes sense.
Now, Ralston Purina, they argued that they didn't realize how bad the breach was until December 8th, 1972. And guess what?
The price of soybeans went up.
It went way up to $3.91 per bushel. That's a good chunk higher than what their original contract said.
Right, so using that later date would mean more money for them.
Exactly.
Oh.
But there's a buck.
There's always a but.
There's this whole issue of Ralston Purina acting in bad faith. And that's where things get really interesting.
Bad faith. That sounds serious. What happened?
Well, the jury in the district court, they made a pretty big finding. They decided that Ralston Purina actually knew, or at least they should have known, that McNabb couldn't deliver all those soybeans.
By the original deadline.
Yep, by November 30th, 1972. All because of that bad weather he had.
So they knew McNabb was in trouble, but they didn't do anything.
That's what the jury decided. And that finding that Ralston Purina knew, it's super important for understanding why the court ruled the way they did.
Okay, so the jury said Ralston Purina was aware of McNabb's problem earlier than they claimed. How did that change how the damages were calculated?
It changed everything. The court said the damages had to be based on the market price at the original deadline, November 30th, not that later date in December.
Why November 30th? What was the court's logic there?
They said Ralston Purina couldn't just extend the deadlines to take advantage of the rising soybean prices. Especially not after they already knew McNabb wasn't going to be able to deliver on time because of the weather.
So they couldn't benefit from a bad situation they knew about.
Exactly. The court really hammered home that the UCC rules about damages, they don't exist in a vacuum.
Right.
There's this bigger idea of good faith that's woven into all commercial contracts. That's in UCC section 1304.
So basically the court was saying you can't ignore what you know to try and get more money.
Exactly. The court said contract changes, yeah, they're fine, and sometimes they're necessary. But you can't use them to take advantage of someone.
I see. So Ralston Purina might have been trying to game the system a bit?
That's what it looks like. If they knew McNabb was going to be late, extending the contract while the market was going up, well, that's not really helping McNabb, is it?
It sounds more like they were trying to increase their own payout.
That's how the court saw it. It wasn't about working together. It was about taking advantage of the situation.
And that all goes back to what the jury found, that Ralston Purina knew what was going on. That seems like it was the deciding factor for the court.
It was huge. Courts really listen to juries, especially when what they find is backed up by the evidence from the trial. In this case, the jury's decision about Ralston Purina's knowledge, that set the stage for everything the court decided about when the breach actually happened.
Okay, so let's step back for a second. What's the biggest takeaway from this case? What should people really understand about contract law?
I think the most important thing is this. The UCC has rules for how to figure out damages when a contract is broken, right?
Right.
But those rules aren't the whole story. You always have to think about good faith. You can't just focus on the numbers and forget about being fair.
So you can't manipulate the rules even if it looks like you could get away with it.
Exactly. You can't just say, oh, well, the contract says this, so I'm going to do that, if it means you're screwing the other person over.
It's not just about following the letter of the law, but the spirit of it, too.
You got it. The UCC is supposed to make sure business is done fairly and smoothly and good faith. That's a big part of making that happen. You can't use these rules to cheat or take advantage of the other side. This case really shows how important that balance is between what the UCC says and the basic ideas of fairness that are at the heart of business law.
So in the end, how much money did Ralston Purina actually get?
The court gave them $2,103.76 plus interest. Well, it's probably a lot less than they wanted. If they had gotten to use the higher soybean price from December, they would have gotten way more.
So their bad faith actually cost them money.
It did, big time. It goes to show, even if you think you can twist the rules in your favor, in the end, it might backfire.
So the big lesson here is play fair, act in good faith, or it could come back to bite you.
Absolutely. The UCC, it's like a framework for good business practices. And good faith, that's a key part of that framework. You can't just try to game the system. You got to be honest and fair.
This has been a really interesting look at Ralston Purina Co. v. McNabb. It's amazing how a contract dispute about soybeans can lead to some really important legal principles.
It is. It shows that contract law isn't just about what's written down. It's about being fair and honest in all your dealings.
Now, for all you listeners out there, especially those of you who are going to be lawyers someday, I want you to think about something. What if the weather that messed up McNabb's crops was a total freak of nature, something neither he nor Ralston Purina could have ever predicted? How would that have changed things? And bigger picture, what does this case tell us about how to negotiate contract changes, especially when prices are jumping up and down and you never know what's going to happen next?
Those are really important questions for anyone who wants to understand contract law. If you want to dive deeper, I'd recommend checking out UCC sections 2713 and 1304. And it's always a good idea to look at other cases where good faith was a big factor in how things got resolved. Those can really help you see how these ideas work in real life.
Couldn't agree more. This case really highlights that in contracts, ethics aren't just a nice to have. They're part of the law. They matter. And they're enforceable.
Well said.
Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.
See you then.